frog in the window will sing for you. The frog in the window will smile for you with his straw hat and his cane. And you know that you will not be the same, 'cause the frog in the window will dance for you. He'll tap out the rhythm in his bright red shoes. And if you ask why this is done, he'll say you're only young when you will not be young. And the frog in the window will answer you. The questions you bring in a cup to view, and if his answer is not the best,
you are listening to In the Window with DJ Frogs on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting round the world at spiritplantsradio.com. Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
I wanted to go on the stage, and now my ambitions I've gotten. In my grey pantaloons I'm the rage, I'm the hole in the elephant's bottom. My friends all think I'm a wit, in their seats in the stalls I can spot them. And I wink at the gals in the pit through the hole in the elephant's bottom. One night I had some bad luck. The manager said I was rotten. I happened to get my head stuck through the hole in the elephant's bottom. My part, it is not very large, nor yet is it easily forgotten. If you're looking for me, come and look through the hole in the elephant's bottom.
Oh, the hole, oh, the hole in each elephant's bottom.
Every single elephant's bottom. Look hard enough, you can't fail to spot them.
That was Roy Hudd with The Hole in the Elephant's Bottom. The rest of the first half of this show is all by Mick Farren. Here he is with People Call You Crazy.
Bye.
The next two are Mick Farren with the Deviants, first Three-Headed Lobster Boy, followed by Somewhere to Go.
After the morning executions, the three-headed lobster boy customized his carapace. A hand-rubbed flame job scarlet through canary yellow on 10 coats of midnight metal flake in the manner of Big Daddy Ed Roth. The three-headed lobster boy had hoped that his new paint would gain the approval and win the affections of the ever-hungry bikini women. But the ever-hungry bikini women merely hissed, flexing and unsheathing their retractable claws in a singular display of contempt and hostility.
We don't like you, three-headed lobster boy. Your antennae are bizarre.
Stealthily in the isolation of red night, the three-headed lobster boy would slip the confines of his cone and vacate the silence, entering the sector of the vertebrates, following the conduits and moisture lanes, drawn by the blue electricity that darted on the deserted patio outside of Sophia's cabaret, from where he could watch unobserved, as on the inside the ever-hungry bikini women disported lewd and serpentine with troopers of the Secret Legion and agents from the Office of Public Order. But eventually he would be spotted, betrayed by his florid excitation, and then he would become the target of the wrath of the ever-hungry bikini women, who would pause in their wanton encirclement, hissing again with cruel perception.
Go away, three-headed lobster boy. You can offer us nothing that could be considered to our advantage.
And to contain his misery, the three-headed lobster boy would ingest complex fluorocarbons through the soft flesh beneath the junctions in his chitin plates. And when discovered prone and insensate and ejected from the sector by the civil guards, the ever-hungry bikini women would laugh their laugh and nod knowingly.
We will never encircle you, three-headed lobster boy, because we are humorless and you have no spine.
We find ourselves a new dream. We find ourselves a new dream. Maybe it won't come today, but you'll find out somewhere along the way. We gotta find somewhere to go.
Next, it's Mick Farren's Tirana Bible and The Mark of Zorro.
Sit around in the cantina, drinking mezcal, getting meaner. Eat the worm and have a vision, practice Mayan blood religion. Or maybe I'll just play it funky, watch the stripper with the donkey, feed the parrot to the monkey. Adios now, mes amigos, think I've got the mark of Zorro. Maybe sober up tomorrow. Think I'll go down to Nogales if I can dodge the federales. Get myself a few diseases, any other thing that pleases. Gotta feel that touch of evil. Who'll take on this gringo devil? Yo, Jesus and a Juanita with a jug of margaritas. Paso doble on my body. In the morning I'll be sorry, really have the mark of Zorro. Hey, doctor, por favor, tomorrow. I watch the worm making lazy circles in the bottle, around and around, live and swimming and 100 proof, and overhead planes pass without lights. Again to Tijuana, smoke a lot more marijuana. And then I'll go and see Rosita. There are girls who mucho sweeter, but there ain't none come any cheaper. For a peso, muy bueno. Living under the volcano, every day's a new fiesta. I could use a quick siesta. Send out for some more tequila. Though she's gone, I still can feel her. Left me with the mark of Zorro. Human sacrifice tomorrow.
Two more from the Deviants. First, Ace of Darkness, followed by You've Got to Hold On.
When alternative attractions were exhausted, and the other recreations of the evening had become colourless and mundane, they retreated to the finality of her most closed of chambers, removed their outer personalities, and practiced the arts of darkness. Although he considered the word practice fundamentally redundant, hadn't each well-evolved rite and ritual been so precisely and repeatedly performed down the intense and Kafka-twisting passages of time, that the two of them were now movement perfect in the complex dance scenario of their vice. No word, no whisper, the mere sigh of suggestion, and he would by necessity comply. Infinitely malleable in the secrecy of their golden silence and scarcely bearable anticipation. Hearing nothing but the momentary electric friction of silk and languid lace, and a soft snap, an indrawn breath, as deviant devices completed their love connection. When his mouth grew too dry, she would pour the wine, cut crystal and arctic ice on bruised recipient lips, small rainbow refractions across contusion, and a momentary reversal of role as she waited on him like a servant. The assigned intelligence dictated that it was he who would wait and serve and wait again, never knowing where or when the next intensity would bestow its mark. And when he was not otherwise impaired, impaled or restrained, he might covertly raise his eyes to focus on the smaller details, the needle points of light, the cutting edge of the profound and the impossible, the intricacy of a costume fastening, or the exact interface where soft silver made its penetration, or the red-orange dark burning of her cigarette that inevitably bore the lipstick traces. When alternative attractions were exhausted and the other recreations of the evening had become colourless and mundane, they retreated to the finality of her most closed of chambers and practiced the arts of darkness.
And now the start of At Home with the Snails, a bizarre sitcom from 2001 written by Gerald Foster.
When I was 7, Gardener's Question Time came to the village of Bedley, Oxfordshire, and I asked a question. What methods, I wondered in my shrill soprano, did members of the panel employ to deal with the perennial problem of snails? The audience laughed. My father had said they would, and the panel spoke. One said traps scraped clean daily, another moats filled with beer. Copper barriers react with slime and electrocute, the third one said. They all agreed that Bordeaux mixture repels when applied to trunks and sheds, and iron phosphates starve them slowly. My father sat beside me, eyes all twinkly. And when the chairman turned to me for my response, my father rose and said, hand-picking is the best and most efficient method. First water thoroughly the infested beds in late afternoon, then wait. Enjoy slow drinks and a family dinner. Smile, be happy. Make love to your wife. After dark, wake one small boy.
Alex?
And take him out into your garden. Drawn to the surface of the wet flower beds, the snails can now be located with a flashlight and drowned in soapy water or crushed.
Good boy. Bad snails.
Repeated twice a week, this eco-friendly procedure not only avoids harmful chemicals, it provides a stimulating introduction into the ways of the English garden and a vital form of bonding between a father and his son.
What do you mean, you feel sick? Right. Let's go wake up your mother.
At Home with the Snails, written by Gerard Foster, starring Jeffrey Palmer and Angela Thorne.
This is my conservatory, with a small c. It's where I come to make nice things. Today I'm making a nice thing for Alex because I know he's been feeling a bit down for the last couple of years. It's a potato print. It's going to be a bit like that portrait of Myra Hindley, only not as controversial. And what I'm going to do are the words, "Cheer up, Alex, please." And if you look carefully, you'll see the words are made up of hundreds of tiny pansies, because we think he might be gay. Well, he has no girlfriend for years, so I think the writing's on the wall. Oh, not a toilet wall. A nice wall.
Well, he was always playing with my dolls. Used to drive me mad. Nobody played with my dolls. I didn't play with my dolls. I worked with them. I had a little factory and they made traditional Devonshire fudge by buying in cheaper fudge and repackaging it. He definitely wasn't a normal child.
I insisted we call our firstborn Rose. Lucky it wasn't a boy, really. But we wanted a rose and we got a rose. Well, she's prickly and she's got quite a red face. It'll do. Alex, on the other hand, I could never really work out what he was for. He helped out in the garden when he was young, but now, well, we have so little in common. I'm professor of symbolics at St. Matthew's, Oxford, and he got a high 2-1 from one of the better provincial universities, and he was pleased with that. I suspect he may even have worked for it.
Is that enough, George?
I don't know. What is it?
It's shepherd's pie.
Well, what does it mean, your shepherd's pie?
No idea, but I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Well, normally there's a basic duality. The white of the potato and the dark of the meat. It symbolises Judeo-Christian concepts of good and evil. And yet, the way you make it, Beverly, the two become indistinguishable in a grey mush.
Really?
So, what your shepherd's pie seems to be telling us is that good and evil have collapsed into one another, which could be a liberating release from traditional recipes of law and morality.
Eat it, George.
Or it could be just quite bland.
And how is it for you, Alex?
All right.
What have you done today?
Well, I got up about half an hour ago and came down for dinner, and then you asked me what I've done today, and I started this sentence.
Any word from London?
No.
You're depressed, that's all. Yeah, I made this for you.
All right. Thanks, Mum. Thanks, Dad.
Well, nothing to do with me.
Look, George, it says, cheer up, Alex, please.
No, it says, are you gay?
Does it? Oh.
You think I'm gay?
No, I don't. But if you were, it wouldn't matter.
Well, that's great. Thanks. Love the pansies, but I'm not.
I know. But if you were...
I'm not.
You knew they were pansies.
I'm not gay.
Well, what are you?
I don't know what I am. Always thought I'd work for the BBC after my illustrious debut in broadcasting, reading out a question my dad prepared earlier. Still waiting for that call. They liked my contribution, want to give me my own show. I don't want my own show. I don't want to work in broadcasting. I don't know what I want to do. I have absolutely no idea how I'm going to satisfactorily pass the painfully long time between now and my inevitable death. Which is why I've applied for the PGCE, to be honest. I don't want to be a teacher, but you've got to do something.
What are you doing?
Nothing.
Good.
I'm not touching your roses.
I should hope not. Do you want to do something?
Yes, I'd love to do something. That's what I want. Someone to tell me what to do. In fact, you're my dad. I thought that was your job.
My job is symbolics. But if you want something to do, you can collect a few snails. You know what to do.
Yes.
Good.
Alex, have you got a napkin?
No, I'll be all right.
Pink or blue?
Whatever.
Pink.
I'm not gay.
I know, but if you were...
I'm not...
I'm trying to think.
Oh, don't play with it, George.
It ought to be called cocks in the hole, really, these burnt sausages plunging into the greasy pudding. Why toad in the hole? Why think of our sexual organs as animals, as dark, wrinkled beasts of the night?
George, your son is gay and he can't admit it. Will you please eat your food?
Alex, you're going to have to move out.
What, because I'm gay?
Oh, at last.
I'm not gay.
Oh, no, you just said you were.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you
did. I was just trying to get to the bottom of why...
It's all coming out. Oh, coming out.
Dad, are you seriously saying you want me to move out?
I don't want you to move out. In an ideal world, you wouldn't be here.
You want me to move out?
Yes.
I've only been back 3 months.
And there's been nothing but conversation since you got here.
Teacher training starts in 5 weeks. Can you not put up with me till then?
You done those snails yet? How's it going?
Yeah, got quite a few. Same as last night.
Little bastards. Thanks, Alex. Night.
Well done.
They think this snail killing has given me something to do. I suppose it has. Only I'm not killing them. I'm taking them up to my room. I just wanted to do something for myself. All my life I've been going along this narrow path laid out before me. School, GCSEs, A-level, university. You look behind you and you see this trail, this slow, predictable progress towards the rest of your life. And when you get to the rest of your life, you don't know what to do. The path stops. It's like scouts. I loved scouts. I was a bloody good scout. And when I got to 19, that was it. I was out the door. Beavers, cubs, scouts, venture scouts, then what? Nothing. They lead you to the edge of a cliff and leave you there, and you're supposed to know where to go. Well, I wasn't going to go forward. I'm not stupid. So I went back. Back to my parents' house. Back to rooting around my dad's flower beds for little animals. I've got about 100 of them up in my room now. I should get some sort of aquarium. But it's nice, letting them wander about. Do their own thing.
5 strawberry knuckles and a pound of coconut rash. £9.98. 2 pence change. Shall I put it in the tin?
Rose, I didn't actually come in to buy chocolates. I wanted to ask you a favour.
Oh, right. OK, I'm ready.
Dad doesn't want me living at home anymore, and I haven't got anywhere to go. And you've got this nice, big...
Oh, you know, right, yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah, no problem. Borrow the tent. It's in the cupboard in my spare room.
It wasn't the tent I was after.
Right.
It does involve me going into the spare room, but not coming out again, except at mealtimes.
No, you've lost me.
I want to move in.
Could I give some money to a homeless charity instead?
Look, you'd be doing me a real favour.
Yeah, that's the problem. Oh, I want to do the good thing. You're right, I'm being silly and petty and selfish.
Thanks, Rose.
50 quid a week, plus bills, no pets.
Right.
And you have remembered it's my birthday next week.
Yes. You can say what you like about Rose, but her heart's in the wrong place. It is in the wrong place. It's pressed up against an armpit, which is a very stressful position for a heart to be in. She can't relax, she can't eat chocolates, oh, and she could drop dead at any moment. But she tries to live a normal life. You know, make as much money as possible and sod everyone else.
No, Daddy.
Oh, my God, I think they're doing it. Carol Smiley and Saddam Hussein are doing it. Stupid names, but you've got to call them something. They've been crawling over each other for a while, so I put them in the shag tank. It's an aquarium with cabbage leaves to roll around on and soil to lay the eggs in. Nice for them to get a bit of privacy. It's amazing watching snails lock together. They've each got a hole, and they've each got a pole. Each of the poles goes in each of the holes. Then both of the snails stand perfectly still for hours on end. No rocking or rolling, no inning and outing, no toing and froing, no screaming and shouting. No, sorry, that was it. No, it doesn't matter, really, it doesn't. It's the most natural thing in the world. I'm not taking it too far, this snail thing, am I?
Sorry, that was it.
Oh, it doesn't matter. Really, it doesn't.
It's the stress, I think.
I know. Well, he's hiding something.
Alex? No, I'm talking about the book. It's brilliant. But I can't see how to begin the thing.
To Beverly for Everything?
No.
Once Upon a Time?
Night.
Look, I can't help you if you won't tell me what it is.
I don't need your help. It's got nothing to do with you. Any plans for dinner tomorrow?
We haven't had a nice coq au vin for a while.
Interesting. I should write this down. Coq au vin.
Oh, you're writing a cookery book.
It's a deconstruction of the symbolism of modern domestic cuisine.
You're deconstructing my cooking?
Yes. That's cheered me up. Shall we try again?
George, I don't sweat all day over a steaming oven.
I should hope you don't. It'll drip in the food.
How you can think about food when you have a son lying next door in a state of severe existential angst, I don't know.
Maybe we should get him to do the cooking. You get a break. I get to see what sort of food an existentially angst-ridden homosexual would come up with.
No, I'm sorry. That's immoral.
Oh, am I in the wrong hole again?
You should be trying to help him. How long has this been going on?
I think we're over a minute now.
Alex.
It's George.
No, I'm talking about Alex. If you don't make some sort of effort to help Alex, then you can forget about your cookery book. As of now, I'm on strike.
All right, I'll go and talk to him.
Oh, when I said on strike, it was only in the kitchen.
Alex?
Alex?
Alex? What do you want?
Only me?
I know it's you. What do you want?
Nothing.
Sorry, I was dreaming. I was a kid and you took me down into the garden.
Yes, you were a little demon gardener in those days.
Well, just copying you, wasn't I?
Ah, nature nurture. No, you were quite inventive back then. I used to just tread on them. You had to winkle them out of their shells and slice them in half with the secateurs.
That's barbaric. Why did you let me do that?
You were only a child. Look, Alex...
You're worried about me.
Mum's worried. I'm concerned. No, don't switch the light on. These things are easier in the dark.
If you're going to come in, I need to switch the light on.
The thing is, we're perfectly happy to put up with you. I mean, put you up, but they're all over the carpet. They're on the walls. They're hanging off the bloody lampshade.
Elvis, get down.
Did you know these snails were in here?
Of course I did. They're from the garden, aren't they?
You've been taking snails from the garden.
You don't want them in the garden.
I don't want them in the house. What if they get in the garden?
So they'd eat your beautiful roses. What does it matter? Sorry, I didn't mean that.
Interesting.
What do you mean, interesting?
Quite symbolic. Snails. Hiding away in his shell, weighed down by his home, haunted by the tracks of his past. He likes snails because he is a snail.
Dad, what are you talking about?
Let me just get this right. You have developed an unhealthy obsession with snails, triggered by the memory of your own father initiating you in his nighttime gardening activities.
No, I don't know, I realised I like snails. It's not...
I've got to write this down. Oh, And what I was saying the other day about moving out. You're happy here, Alex.
Well, actually...
Night.
Mind where you're treading. That was Carol Smiley.
Not so smiley now, is she? We'll get you another one. Well, help yourself, in fact.
So, he doesn't like boys. He likes snails, which is fine. But my Are You Gay card looks rather silly now, so I've made him a big cuddly snail. And here's the clever bit. What I've done is I've attached a loo roll to its bottom. So as you move it along the floor, the loo roll unwinds, like a snail trail. And on the snail trail, I've written literary quotations about snails. It's amazing how many there are. The snail crushed by careless feet makes our Lord's heart miss a beat. William Blake. He wrestled with giant snails all that summer, then got drunk. Ernest Hemingway. You snail. Harold Pinter. You effing snail. Stephen Burkoff. You mother effing snail. Quentin Tarantino. Oh, I did make some of them up. For Alex.
Get that down, you. Cheers.
Cheers.
What did you think of the game?
Yeah, it was some...
I thought it was very symbolic. Those goals are clearly orifices.
Dad, why are we here?
Well, I didn't want to have to tell you this, but life is meaningless. Art, charity and conversation are futile. And God died in October 1964 when I published my first
book. No, why are we in a pub trying to talk about football?
Oh. Which what fathers do with their sons, isn't it?
So why are we doing it?
I thought it was time I got to know you better.
I thought we were saving that getting to know you stuff till one of us was about to die. Are you ill?
No. I'm worried about you.
Am I ill?
No. And don't let anyone tell you you are. Especially not a doctor. I don't want them trying to cure you of whatever it is you haven't got. Look, I've probably been a bit distant for the last 25 years, but I think we should make an effort to start being normal.
Right.
These snails are a bit like little willies, aren't they?
What?
Bit like little willies, extending, retracting, in and out of their shells, a haunting echo of your own withered masculinity, yes?
Well, I've never really thought about it. Are you writing down everything I say?
No, I'm writing down everything I say. It's far more interesting. You're in there as well.
Why do you need to take notes?
You're right. It's making things awkward. I'll use the dictaphone.
Dad, I'm not a case study.
Could you say that a bit nearer the microphone?
No!
I'm interested in you.
No, you're not. You're interested in snails.
Not as interested as you. You're the one taking pictures of them, copulating every night.
I am not. Have you been going through my room?
No.
In order to get to know me better?
Yes. It's because I care. I would never read your diary if you keep a diary.
What are you going to do when I move out? Get Rose to spy on me?
What do you mean, move out?
Well, moving into Rose's on Friday.
No, you can't.
You told me to.
And then I told you to stay.
And I'm here just to follow your orders.
No, I forbid you to move out.
Why?
Why?
Why don't you want me to move out all of a sudden?
Because I love you.
Right. Right.
That's settled then. Cheers.
I found myself talking to Uri Geller last night. Not the Uri Geller, I'm not desperate. The snail Uri Geller. Still pretty stupid talking to an animal when they can't talk back. So I've found a way where they can talk back. I've got Joe Strummer from The Clash on a kind of Ouija board, and the question I'm asking him is, should I stay or should I go? If he goes left, I stay at home. If he goes right, I move in with Rose. Good to see he's not rushing it. He's taking his time. It's not getting out of control, this snail thing. I just can't make decisions. It's the most unfair thing about life, that you're constantly being asked to choose. I don't mind what happens to me. If I haven't chosen it, it's not my fault. I've got a lot in common with Jesus in that respect. He didn't choose to be crucified, he let it happen. I'd have done the same. To be fair, I'd probably have let all those people carry on being blind and lame and that, and he didn't. Still no movement from Joe Strummer. I hope I don't have to stay. My dad told me he loved me. Next thing I know, he's going to want us to start cuddling and taking baths together. I mean, I'd love to do that. Not the baths, but we don't touch each other. If we shake hands, he'll have gloves on. It's like we're practicing safe family relations, like we're terrified of giving each other this terrible disease called affection. And suddenly he's making the first move. And either we carry on as we were until one of us dies and the other one is left going, "Ooh, I loved you so much," to a slab of marble. Or we start having proper conversations and telling each other what we really think and feel. God, if this snail doesn't hurry up, I'm going to have to make the decision for myself. Which is what he's telling me to do. He's not moving because he wants me to make the decision. Blimey, that's clever. And I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay and bond with my father. Oh, no, hang on. He's definitely edging towards go. Thank God for that.
Snail Boy, Chapter 1. Once upon a time, there was a boy. His mother made him nice things and hot meals. His father created a magical garden, and every Sunday allowed him to play in it. Yet, despite this normal, happy childhood, the boy grew up to become what can only be described as a snail. Ugh.
Boiled beef and dumplings.
What?
Tonight's menu. That's what you're writing. The symbolism of modern domestic cuisine.
Oh, yes, dumplings.
And you'll be able to really get down to work now Alex has gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Oh, didn't he tell you?
Tell me what?
He's moved out to Rose's.
What, without even saying goodbye?
Well, we thought you'd be engrossed in your work.
I told him I loved him. I told him I bloody loved him.
Well, I gave him a cuddly snail. That didn't do any good either.
It was really generous of you, Gran. Oh, I think I'm just going to stick it on the wall. You can't buy much with a tenner these days. Well, 50 would be more like it, but I'll expect that first post tomorrow, then. Go away! No, not you, Gran. Oh, sorry. Yes, you as well. There's a customer.
Rose.
What can I get you?
Nothing. I just came to see you.
Oh, right. Well, thanks for coming.
I got you a present.
Right, you'd better come in.
It's a pair of secateurs for the garden.
Thanks. That's great. Just what you would have bought for yourself. I did tell you I'd had the garden paved over.
They'll come in useful one day when you want roses of your own.
Well, next year, can you all stick to the list? It's very frustrating. Mum made me a wool and button collage depicting the events surrounding my first period. Alex got me a bloody cat.
What, a live cat?
Yes, a live cat. Good for the stress levels.
Well, that's ideal.
Yes. Oh, shut up!
Alex around, is he?
No, he's down in London enjoying himself on my special day. And having his teacher training interview.
Maybe having him to stay isn't a good idea. For the stress levels.
Might be good for me to live with another human being for a while.
And where does Alex fit in?
He's all right, actually, when you get to know him.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I think we've got over that petty rivalry thing.
How are the snails?
The what?
Oh, didn't he tell you?
Tell me what?
He's got a couple of hundred snails with him. They'll be sliding around his room right now.
The cheeky bugger.
I've got the car with me. Shall I load up his bags?
I mean, what have they got in the chocolates?
Yes, he'll have to come home.
I told him, no pets.
And he gave you a cat.
And he gave me a cat. Yes. He signed the contract.
So he comes back home.
So he's going nowhere.
But what about the snails?
Well, you said these would come in useful.
Oh, Rose, please, put the secateurs down.
I think I'm going to like teaching. I got in there and they asked me if I'd had a good journey down, and that was my dream question, because on the tube I'd kept seeing these adverts for some mortgage company or estate agents. It was this cartoon of a snail with its shell painted in some groovy, biologically inaccurate colour, which it was apparently very happy about. I mean, I've watched a lot of snails over the past couple of weeks, and they don't grin, and they don't do thumbs up either. And it suddenly hit me, the irony. They're using snails to sell houses. And what's the first thing people do when they get into their lovely new house? They go out into the garden and kill off all the snails. Might not be the first thing. In my father's case, I'm sure it was. But normal people would put the kettle on first, choose the curtains. But you know, at some point down the line, the snails are going to be out the door. So I just talked about that, actually. Linked it in with teaching. Can't remember how. But at the end, as I was going out, one of the panels said, "Good luck." I think that's a good sign, isn't it?
Rose, those snails, what about my book? They belong to Alex.
What's so special about Alex?
Nothing. He doesn't mean any more to me than you.
Oh, they're all over the floor. They're up the walls, they're hanging off the bloody lampshade.
Elvis, down you get.
You've got names for them.
He's got names for them. Rose, if you kill his snails, he might never be the same again.
He might get a life.
Exactly. The guy's a freak. You are easily the most well-adjusted, socially competent child I have. I'd have thought you'd want to keep it that way.
Well, I let him keep his snails so that he doesn't do better than me.
Yeah, brilliant, isn't it?
It's the kind of twisted thing I come up with. Oh. I was about to chop up his snails because they shouldn't be here, but now I'm feeling sorry for him because he's obviously going through some major crisis. And you love me more than you love him?
No.
You don't love me more than you love him?
Well...
No! Why would you? He's always been the interesting one, the one with the problems, while I've just got on with my life. I'm sorry, Dad, for being so well-adjusted, so annoyingly sane. Yeah, well, maybe this will make me a bit more interesting. One. Two. Mad enough for you yet, am I?
Give me the...
Get back, or you'll be picking up your fingers with your mouth.
We've not the hands.
Three. Four. Five.
We're gathered here today to celebrate the life of Lionel Blair, Mark Goodyear, Helena Bonham Carter and 186 others cut down in their prime.
Alex, they're snails.
It's hard to find some meaning in such a tragedy. Why did I leave them? Why were they allowed to die? Why did you do it, Rose?
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have let it in your room. I didn't think cats liked snails.
Well, clearly they don't.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you give me something that's not on the list. You're lucky I'm letting you bury them in my garden.
Yeah.
I do think 189 individual graves is going to be a bit fiddly.
I'm not putting them in a mass grave.
They're snails!
You don't understand, do you? You just don't get it.
No, I don't.
Nor do I, but they meant something to me, these snails.
I know. I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter.
No, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to put the rent up.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I feel really bad about what happened, and having a bit more money might cheer me up. And you're using my garden as a graveyard. That's got to be worth something.
Alex is back. I made him a nice thing, his very own snail fancy dress. A pair of teeny boppers and a rucksack with a shell painted on it. He said to me, I'm 23 years old, when am I going to want to wear a fancy dress? And I said, they're having a Mardi Gras night at the Jolly Sailor next Tuesday. Well, it was worth a try.
Carol Smiley and Saddam Hussein are dead. But no one could get the eggs buried deep in the soil in the shag tank. When I woke up this afternoon, there were hundreds of tiny snails stuck to the aquarium walls, peering out at me. They look like Rice Krispies. I feel all warm inside, like I'm a secret snail king rebuilding his army. And I didn't get into teacher training, so I've got to do something.
I don't feel guilty. I haven't got time to feel guilty. I'm on 5,000 words a day.
At Home with the Snails was written by Gerard Foster and starred Jeffrey Palmer as George, Angela Thorne as Beverly, Gerard Foster as Alex, and Miranda Hart as Rose. The programme was produced by Jane Batu.
I will be playing the remaining 7 episodes over the next few shows, and I hope you will be following as it gets very strange. Now, to play us out, here's Richard Cheese and Lounge Against the Machine and Smoke Two Joints.
I smoke two joints in the morning, I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the afternoon, it makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more. Oh, my daddy once told me, son, you be hardworking man. Mama told me, do the best you can. But then one day I met a man who came to me and said, hard work good and hard work fine, but first take care of head. So I smoke two joints when I get up in the limo. I smoke two joints. I smoke a couple joints when I play video game, and at every 10,000 points. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in time of war. I smoke two joints before I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more. Yeah! I smoke two joints in the AM. I smoke two joints at night. I smoke two joints in the evening. It makes me feel alright. I smoke two joints in time of peace and two in I smoke two joints, and then I smoke two more.
Well, that's it for this show. If you have been, thanks for listening.